The first lesson is from the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Philippians, chapter 1, starting at verse 21. This can be found on pages 1178 of the Bibles in the church. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord.
This reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 25. The words will be on the screen, but if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, it can be found on page 983. Matthew chapter 16. We read about Peter's confession of Christ and later that Jesus predicts his death. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." This is the word of the Lord.
You may care to have your Bibles open at Philippians chapter 1, and I'll be referring to two or three verses as we proceed I want to bear in mind, especially this morning, those words from Philippians 1:27, where it reads, "Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." But firstly, it was on Sunday the 6th of July last year, we all picked up the reins of the interregnum, now some 15 months ago. Those months ahead looked daunting, as we knew there would firstly be 6 frenetically busy months putting together comprehensively a required church profile and a carefully thought out candidate's prospectus, clearly indicating whom we were looking for before we'd ever be in a position to advertise early this year. Those charged with producing those 2 documents necessarily burnt much midnight oil. A grateful thanks to them. There was also a buildings group who undertook an in-depth investigation in what to do about the rectory. No mean task. While yet another group set to work on the church's information website. Grateful thanks must go to both of those groups likewise. A cause of concern for the vestry was the long off, at that time, Scottish referendum, and whether it might prevent strong candidates from applying or cause them to hold back until it was clear we'd be or not be remaining as part of the UK. Back then, an interregnum through to at least New Year 2015 seemed a very real and concerning possibility. However, through these last 15 months, you have been an encouragement to your vestry, to your trustees, to me, and to the staff alongside me. You have responded by taking on responsibilities for services, intercessions, lesson reading, preaching, pastoral care, and oversight of the Youth Fellowship. Some of you taking on roles you had never had formal training for, but which you gave of yourself to and for the Lord and for all of us. Thank you. At times, there was a wearying of the interregnum, but that, I assure you, is very common and not at all a surprise. Nevertheless, you expressed your appreciation for and to all those who ministered to you week by week, and that appreciation was a blessing to those who had sought to bring to our services and needs all the enabling the Lord had given them. So thank you to them, and thank you to you. Thus, we come to our final interregnum service. And on Thursday, we look forward to David McCarthy and Ali joining us as David is instituted as rector. So how do we round off today, but equally prepare ourselves for our tomorrows with David as a church and a congregation? Again, I'm struck by this month's church services card. It says on the front page, God's church. Those words are exactly right. While we are St. Thomas's, with all the gospel emphases we espouse and testify to, we are firstly God's church. Why? Because we are bought with the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is why we are first and foremost God's church, called by him. As such, we are precious to him, for it took his Son's life to redeem us, so that we can become all that he calls us to be and to bear witness to. Therefore, as God's Church of St. Thomas's, which is the right way round reference and emphasis, we are called to be interacting with God. This is the overall sermon title on the inside page for September. Thinking about that title a little, interacting with God, it implies it's not a doing of our own thing, not a ploughing of our own human preferences, not here to be a club-type organization, but here to be interacting with God. That is, here to be in a life-giving fellowship, primarily to be in fellowship with God in line with the first and great commandment, to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then fellowshipping next with fellow Christians per the second great commandment, in a godly reaching out with ourselves to our neighbor, in order that all whom God puts upon our hearts and in our way may be drawn in to faith and fellowship in Jesus Christ. What God is putting us in touch with here is a dynamic, all-embracing. It is demanding, sacrificial, but it is also wholesome, life-affirming, and it blesses. I believe St. Paul, in our first reading in Philippians 1, helps us here as he urges the Philippian church in verse 27 to live or conduct themselves in a manner which is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let's see what St. Paul is wrestling with as he makes that strong commendation to them. In verses 21 to 26, as we read through those, you'll see he's in a tussle about the outcome of his Roman imprisonment, wrestling with his probable death, which he holds will usher him into eternity, into everlasting presence with Jesus. On the one hand, he really desires to be with the Lord forever. But on the other hand, he believes God has more work for him to do among the Philippians, and he wants to accomplish that for their sake. He wants to see them, in verse 25, progress in the faith of Christ. He wants to see their joy grow. He wants those things so much for them, in verse 26, that he will see their joy overflow in Christ Jesus. When such overflowing takes place, it becomes obvious to all around, because it's wholesome, it's attractive, it's noticed, what they are and who they are in Christ will stand out as a witness. But Paul is also intensely practical. He's not just visionary. And I want to round off focusing on verse 27, where Paul wants them to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What he says here, we can also be encouraged by, as he tells them to stand firm in the faith. To do that, we need to know what that faith is, which is why we have sermons, which is why we have monthly teaching evenings, which is why we have house groups for study, which is why we are running a Christianity Explored course from mid-October for 8 weeks for any who would like to rethink through faith in Christ. Thus, St. Paul wanted to be available to help the Philippians progress. He'd equally want to be here for us, I think, too. To stand firm, we need to know and be clear what we are believing and what we are standing firm upon. Finally, for this morning, Paul says to them in verse 27, to stand firm in one spirit. This is a matter of fellowship relationships. The importance of being open to one another. Because he says we are to contend as if we are a single identity for the faith of the gospel. That is, having common disposition and purpose, which is given us in Christ to hold, to value, to nurture, and to live out. So, dear friends, let us go forward into the new day ahead with a renewed hope, ready to continue in the call of God upon us, ready to serve as David may invite and ask us. He will be ready to bring his ministry gifts that God has given him. He will be ready to give of himself and to lead us together. Let us welcome and encourage that, and in doing so, encourage him. Let us therefore commit ourselves to all that lies before us, so that God's purpose and will may be found among us, enabling all who come in through our doors to find, as we have, faith and joy in Christ, in believing.